It looks like a missing poster for me. As soon as I recommend somebody, everybody listens, so...
I'll insert some music here. Hello and welcome to this fifth episode now of EFL at URN. I'm your co-host, Harry, and I'm joined by my other co-host, Luke. How are you today, Luke?
I'm good. It's a busy transfer deadline day today that we're recording this on.
Yeah, very exciting. We're currently within the last hour of the deadline day, so if anything big happens, I'm sure we'll let you know, even though this won't be out right now. A lot of action happened last weekend in League Two. Well, we're starting to see a few bigger scoreline differences, and we're going to start with one of the biggest today, and that was Harrogate Town versus Newport. This is where Newport won 4-0. Luke, do you want to take us through this game?
Yeah, this game really shows Newport's, well, they've got a lot better in recent weeks. Newport have. They're scoring 4 goals, Omar Bogle on the score sheet, notably twice. He looks like a really good signing for them. It also shows that Harrogate Town might struggle in the league this year. I don't think they've started very well this season at all. Sitting in 18th, so not doing awfully, but not great as well. It's one of them games that it just shows the fragility of Harrogate, and it shows that Newport are actually, well, they can actually start making their way up the league at the moment, because the last couple of games I've seen them play, they've been pretty good, to be fair. I think they've got 2 wins in a row now. And yeah, Omar Bogle could lead them to playoffs. Is he better than Dom Telford? He could be, seeing as Dom Telford has not done anything at Crawley yet. But yeah, solid game for Newport, this one. Definitely chilled out in the second half. Well, didn't score any goals in the second half. They just made 5 changes in the second half, which basically gave all the important players rests, and will probably put them in good stead for the next match. Harrogate Town, this could be a win for them. They've shipped goals a little bit in the league so far, but they conceded 8 in 6 games, so not awful. It's not been an awful start for the season for them, and I think is where you'd think that they would be at this stage of the season.
Yeah, definitely. If you're looking at the game, Harrogate Town by the end have had 65% possession, and Newport, well, obviously then only had 35%, and Newport still win by 4-0. So that, to me, sort of suggests that they really took the chances, Newport County, in this game. And as noticeably, as you said, Bogle getting 2 on the score sheet. He's proven in past years what he can do at this level. He found his way up to Cardiff and then on Portsmouth as well, and didn't really do as much. So if he can really hit the ground running this year, there's no reason why he can't find the form that he had a few years ago. If we're looking at the table, Newport sat 16th. And through the past previous years, this might seem a bit low because, you know, they've been hanging around the playoffs. But like you said, if they're starting to show and pick up this form, there's no reason why they can't start pushing themselves up towards the top of the table. And I think Harrogate, we're starting to see, they had quite a strong start, picking up 7 points after 5 games. So, yeah, I think they're going to not struggle, but I think we're going to start seeing them maintaining sort of a lower mid-table sort of standard now for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I will be surprised that they do look a bit inconsistent of late.
So if we move on to another League Two game, and this again was a big scoreline, and this was Leighton Orient versus Hartlepool, where Leighton Orient won 4-2. Leighton Orient kind of sat top of the table. Can I get your thoughts on actually Hartlepool first? How do you think they've started this season?
I think there was a lot of positivity at the start of the season, but I think that might have gone now. They definitely don't look like they're in a good place at the moment. They haven't won a match all season so far, and they're rightfully 23rd. They obviously can score goals, but with a -9 goal difference at this early stage in the season, they've obviously got really bad defensive qualities, and I don't know, they might go down. I wouldn't be surprised, because they haven't made any amazing signings that I've really thought could help them. And yeah, it's again, this game just shows that they don't really give up, and there is a team unity and stuff, but yeah, I don't think they have the quality at the moment for this league.
Yeah, if you look at this game, so coming up against a team such as Leyton Orient, which has started so strongly, do you think before the game Hartlepool were sort of thinking, right, we've already lost this game?
I don't think any team goes into a game and already thinks that they've lost a game. Maybe Everton might do last season, but none of these, or Norwich last season. But yeah, I don't think many teams go into games thinking they're going to lose them. I think because you have to have some belief in yourself that you can actually get something out of the game, because what's the point of going into games if you just know you're going to lose? So I don't think Hartlepool think they're going to lose every game, because they haven't. And they also put up fights in games, especially this one where they did score two goals and ran Leyton Orient close until the second half of the second half. So yeah, I think there is some positives to take from this game for Hartlepool, but they just look really fragile at the back. I think Murray had a stinker for them. But if they get the defence in order, I think they could get out of danger towards the end of the season.
Yeah, yeah. So Hartlepool, I think, is a team that you need to keep an eye on, because this lack of form, but I'm hoping that they'll be able to turn it round, because 2 points from six games isn't really ideal. Then if we just look at the other team, then Leyton Orient, who have started so well in this league at the moment. After six games, they've got 16 points. In this game, there's Lone, they managed to create 22 chances. Do you think their players up front, you know, Charlie Kelman, Smith, even George Moncur to a point, do you think their attack, you know, they've got one of the strongest now in the league?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think they've got, well, if not the strongest attack in the league. Smith is great. Kelman got the man of the match this game with a goal and assist. Archibald looks a decent player. Moncur with a goal as well. He looks quite good this season. So, yeah, I think they've obviously got one of the strongest attacks in League Two. They're really showing it at the moment with how many goals they've scored.
Yeah, it's crazy to think how, you know, they managed to pick Moncur up from Hull, as we've said, in the transfer for free. Charlie Kelman coming in from QPR. Having Paul Smith as well. It's... Yeah, in League Two, these are all very, well, apart from Moncur, obviously, these, Kelman and Smith especially, are very young with high prospectable players. So being able to line up with them at the front, I think that's just crazy, in my opinion. Because if you're looking at other attacks, so if we touch on Bogle, like we just mentioned a minute ago, he's a player that's coming towards the end of his career. So I think if Leyton Orient could hold on to these players in the future, they might be able to build themselves quite a strong League One team, let alone League Two.
Yeah, I think they've added an attacker today as well, actually, in the last hour. Jaden Wareham from Chelsea. That's in the last hour anyway. Obviously, Chelsea have a great academy, so I won't be surprised if this Wareham is a good player for them. I think it further strengthens their team. Obviously, I don't know a lot about him because I don't follow Chelsea or their academy. But by the looks of it, yeah.
And then if we look at another game, and this one is really Salford versus Stevenage, two teams who have started very strong at the start of the year. Salford winning this game 1-0 thanks to a Ryan Watson goal in the 90th minute. So, you know, it was sort of seen as Salford doing what Stevenage had done so well at the start of the year and scoring a goal right at the death of the game. So how do you think Salford are coping this year then? Do you think, you know, this currently sat fourth? Do you think this is too good to be true for a team that we've seen fail to reach the playoffs in the past few years?
I think they're doing what they should have done in the last two seasons, which is being in an automatics race pretty early on in the season. And I think this year will probably be their year to go up or at least get playoffs, because their squad at the moment is amazing. Obviously, they've lost Thomas Asante today, which we'll probably get onto later. But they've replaced him with a couple of players today. I think even Galbraith has gone to Salford today, which is a great addition to midfield for them. And yeah, they Stevenage, which was great to see, really, because Stevenage have been, well, not lucky, but they've lived on these late goals literally every single game. And Steve Evans has got lots of plaudits for it. So I don't think he'd be too upset when a team scores in the 90th minute against his team.
Yeah, it's been a common theme for Stevenage this year. I think we should also definitely mention how well Stevenage started this year, because they're only fifth, one place behind Salford, also on 13 points. And for a team that was in a relegation battle last year, I think this is an incredible turnaround. And I think the credit has to be given to the manager of what he's been able to do. Because if I'm correct, I don't think there's been a massive turnout of players. I think there's just been a lot more belief put into the squad.
Yeah, I think Steve Evans is a pretty good manager. He's definitely transformed the Stevenage team because, as you said, they've been in a relegation battle for the last three seasons. I think they're lucky to be in this league, but now they've stayed in the league, they're doing pretty well. And I wouldn't be surprised if they stayed in playoff position for like quite long in the season, to be honest with you, because Steve Evans, although he is not everyone's cup of tea and a bit spiky most of the time, he's proven to be a good manager, well, throughout his managerial career, really, well, on and off. Obviously, he didn't do well with Gillingham last season, but this Stevenage team looks to be, well, his bounce back, really.
Yeah. So I think what we're basically saying here is then keep an eye on Stevenage because they could really, well, not shock, but they could really be in the running at the end of the season.
And yeah, to wrap this up then, the rest of the scores in League Two are as followed. Wimbledon 0, Barrow 1. Barrow continued to be amazing. Bradford City 0, Crewe 0, Carlisle 1, Gillingham 0, Harrogate Town 0, Newport County 4, Leyton Orient 4, Hartlepool 2, Northampton Town 0, Doncaster 1, Rochdale 1, Crawley 1, Salford 1, Stevenage 0, Stockport County 1, Swindon Town 1, Sutton United 2, Mansfield Town 1, Tranmere 2, Colchester 0, and Walsall 1, Grimsby 2. And I think this is time where Harry predicts the next load of fixtures. It's your turn, Harry.
My go, is it? The step up.
Yeah, I didn't notice the story that you put up of me and my point. And it looks like a missing poster for me. So that was great.
Well, you only got 24 points, so probably missing where.
But how many points are you on then?
Well, I'm on zero at the moment. We only really counting from last week, so.
Are we? Well, 24 points is good then.
24, yeah. There was a lot of 0 points when I was doing the scoring, I have to say. But you didn't get any. You didn't get any of those -3 points for incredibly wrong. So I think we'll give you some.
Well, let's hope you get some incredibly wrong results today, really. So we're going to do the quickfire predictions like we do every week. 1 point for correct results, 3 points for correct score, and -3 points for an outrageously bad prediction. So are you ready, Harry?
I am ready. Sorry, yes.
Bradford Walsall.
I'm going to go for 1-0 Bradford.
Hey, Carlisle Rochdale.
3-0 Carlisle.
Colchester Hartlepool.
I'm going to go 2-1 Colchester.
Crewe Stevenage.
2-0 Stevenage.
Doncaster Mansfield.
1-0.
Gillingham Swindon.
I'm going to go 1-0 Swindon.
Newport Grimsby.
2-0 Newport.
Leyton Orient Tranmere.
Let's go 3-0 Leyton Orient.
Northampton Barrow.
I'm going to go 0-0.
Salford Crawley.
1-0 Salford.
Stockport Wimbledon.
1-0.
Sutton United Harrogate Town.
0-0.
I think you've been very conservative in your predictions this time.
Yeah,
you haven't gone for any outrageous score lines.
I think I started off strong.
Which isn't most fun, is it?
No, I started off strong with like a couple 3-0s, then I ended up with 0-0 at the end. So I think
there's a few 0-0s there. So yeah. Let's hope that doesn't happen for everyone's sake, really. Because yeah, 0-0s are probably the worst things in football, apart from losing in the last minute.
Seeing as it's transfer deadline day, we thought we'll just go through some transfers. So we've obviously League Two transfers here. What team do you think is done well?
I think Salford today have done pretty well to recover from what would have been a massive hit for them, because obviously they've lost Thomas Asante, but they've brought in Jack Jenkins, they've brought in Ethan Galbraith, they've also brought in a number of players to fill the void of Asante, really, which is pretty good. I think, on the other hand, Crawley have probably had the worst deadline day, because they've let go of one of a really experienced striker to bring in an 18-year-old from a Premier League team that has, West Brom, I think, that hasn't really been tested. So they've basically thrown away guaranteed goals for an untested team, well, a teenager. So yeah, probably the worst one. What do you think?
I think there's one team which has been doing a lot of good moves, and that's Colchester. I think the biggest standout signing for them has been Matthew Longstaff coming on loan. Obviously, he's coming down from Newcastle again on loan. And we saw him last year, back end of last season. He was on loan at Mansfield in this league. So I think of what I've heard, he didn't have the best of last season, but he obviously has that quality within him. But I'll be really interested to see how we can kick on this year for them. And if we keep on the Colchester, you know, they brought in a very good few other players. So, for example, Berlil Lubala, who a couple of seasons ago really tore up this league for Crawley, I think, if I'm correct saying Crawley, obviously went on to Blackpool, didn't really get going there in the Championship. So he finds himself on loan. I'll be interested to see how well he can do. And then also they brought in a few other players recently, such as Dan Chester's coming in on loan from West Ham. Touching on that Salford, Brandes Thomas Asante, I think he's had such a strong start for the season, which has really helped Salford. So, as you said, making sure that they brought in players to cover him is, you know, they're not going to be able to find the exact replacement straight away for him. So bringing in a couple of options will really help, you know, sort of strengthen the hole that they will miss from him. But yeah, I think overall it hasn't really been, would you say it's been an exciting deadline day?
I think it was, well, for me personally, yeah, a bit more exciting than last year. Didn't sign anyone, but in League Two, I think it's been an odd transfer day in League Two, because there have been some really odd transfers that really caught my eye, and yeah, I don't like the look of some of them, but some of them have been absolutely mad, like Matt Longstaff for Colchester. So yeah, there's been random ones which I haven't really been expecting. What about you?
Yeah, I'm sort of the same. You know, Matt Longstaff's definitely, he's always going to be the standout in the transfer window down to League Two. But yeah, I think it's just been a standard deadline day for me. Nothing really too much to add. Right, so if we then move on now up to League One, and we'll go back to last weekend's results. So last weekend, you know, we saw a few big scoring games, notably a 5-0 win for Sheffield Wednesday. But I think we're going to, you know, just get this done and dusted, get this out of the way. And I think it's time for the Burton Albion segment of the podcast, you know, a common theme listening.
Can we get a jingle for this, please? Because it's a weekly thing now.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll insert some music here.
I mean, we know quite a few musical people at the radio, obviously. We could try and ask, like, Dom Allen, to get some music for us if he wants, because he's in a band.
Get a little jingle going,
which makes music. Exactly, yeah. Or whoever, Jake Longus, he's got guitar or drums, doesn't he? So him.
Yeah, well, I mean, we can't offer anything; it will all have to be for free. But we can give you a shout out to all our many listeners, I guess.
Yeah. So if you do us a jingle, anybody, we'll shout your band name, which will obviously get your streams to 1 million streams on Spotify.
Yeah, you know, yeah, it's a done deal. At the moment your name's said, you know, that's how the way this works.
Yeah, as soon as I recommend somebody, everybody listens, so, yeah.
Right, it was a very high-scoring game, 7 goals. Right, so the score ended up being 4-3 to Cambridge at the end. It was 2-1 at half-time to Burton, with goals coming in the first minute and the 41st minute. And then Smith picking up a second half hat trick. And then also O'Neill scoring a goal really helps bring the points home to Cambridge. So do you want to go straight into talking about Hasselbank, or should we try and talk about the game?
Let's talk about the game first, because it was one of the games of the season. So actually, let's be honest, Burton have had some really good games for the neutral anyway. Especially this one, the Accrington one. They've been battered a few times, which has been quite fun to watch. But yeah, let's start on the actual game. They shot themselves in the foot big time, really, because obviously they scored in the first minute with Ahadme, who's nagged Ipswich. But yeah, and then they shot themselves in the foot with Johnny Smith getting sent off. And I don't think anybody knows why he got sent off. I don't think any Burton fan saw what happened. I don't think anybody saw what happened apart from the fourth official or linesman, who obviously said it was like violent conduct or something. So something's obviously gone wrong there. So yeah, shot themselves in the foot. Then obviously Sam Smith is incredible. But then they got themselves back into the match twice. Well, they led in the match three times, which does show there's desire and they can score goals. But it also shows that they're horrendous at the back. Obviously not coached good enough to play with 10 men, which realistically they should, because there is a trend with Burton this season that they are going to get sent off quite a number of times. So they probably should get some training in for when they have 10 men. But yeah, Hadmay's going to be a big, big loss for them, because he's scored a few goals in the last two games. So that's worrying for them. Well, I think this game does represent a slight move in the right direction. What do you think?
Well, if we just touch on that point about, you know, how they keep finding themselves getting a red card. In this game, they committed 20 fouls. So, you know, committing such fouls, being that aggressive in a game, you're going to end up picking up a lot of bookings and then therefore suspensions. It's sort of screaming that the players are sort of getting frustrated now, picking 1 point from six games. In this game, they only had 28% possession as well. So I think there needs to be a big change, really, because otherwise they're already in a mess at the moment, and they're going to find themselves in a bigger mess when players start picking up the five bookings and getting themselves banned for a couple games. But as you said, they are starting to become, you know, quite exciting games where they find themselves 1-2-0 up and then somehow throw it away.
Look at Sam Smith. He's really good. He was proved that he was really good in League Two, and he has kicked on in League One. Do you think he could be one of the top scorers in the league this season, Harry?
Yeah, I think definitely. I think he's an outstanding player. I know that for a fact that multiple League One teams have been trying to sign him, and one of them is MK Dons. But so when I went to Cambridge to watch the first opening game of the season, he played, and I thought he was class, to be honest with you. He's normally a centre striker, but he sort of finds himself down this right wing in the current formation that they're playing, and he's just adapted really well. He's a good, tall, strong, powerful striker. So for me, it's no real surprise why he's got himself a hat trick in this game. So I think I'm going to say this. I think keeps us up. He may find himself contending for the top goal scorer in the league. So that's how impressed I was from the first game. Do you think Cambridge, the team that they've got quite a few good players now starting to create themselves a quite good, strong League One team. Do you think that we could see them holding on to this sort of, not near the playoffs, but top end of the mid-table sort of area?
Yeah, I think they've been good value for, well, where they are at the moment, to be honest with you. I don't think they've played too many massive teams, which is the only problem at the moment. They definitely haven't played massive teams. They've obviously lost against Portsmouth and Charlton, which were the two like big in quotation marks teams in our league. So I think whenever they get tested against the bigger teams, they do stumble a bit, to be honest with you. But no, if they keep beating teams in and around them and below them, then I think they'll definitely stay where they are, because I think they're a really good team. I really, really like the manager too. And yeah, they've got quite a few players that are pretty good for this league. They've got Shalal Tracy, who is rapid and likes dribbling and stuff like that. And you've got Ironside, who's obviously a proven hold up merchant and goal scorer as well. So they'll definitely be safe in this league. Definitely.
Yeah, I think they're a team that would just keep your eye on, see how well they can do, especially with players like Sam Smith and Shallow Tracy as well, like you said.
Right, do you want to talk about your Milton Keynes and how well they did at the weekend?
Yeah, let's do that.
So in this game, it was obviously Morecambe against Milton Keynes. Milton Keynes Dons won 4-0 with two goals from Will Grigg, one goal from Grant and one goal from Dennis, finally in the 67th minute. They really blew Morecambe away. Morecambe looked doomed at the moment, to be honest with you. Yeah, obviously, Milton Keynes looked great in this game with Will Grigg having two goals and finally on the score sheet for them. But yeah, this really shows that Morecambe are not the best team for League One and will probably go down this season. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's amazing now to see MK Dons sort of trying to, they're finding their feet this season after a very slow start. We saw them being the only team not to score, one of the only teams not to win, pick up a point. So to really get a 4-0 win away, which is what they replicated from what they did last year when last time they played away at Morecambe, it's starting, things are starting to look up there. You know, you're seeing Will Grigg getting two goals is amazing. Because he's obviously a player that's, obviously you can see in the past now, he's a player that plays with his head. So when he was at Sunderland, he didn't get that first goal for a while and it's cost him. But when he came back on loan to teams like Milton Keynes and then Rotherham, getting a few good early goals really helps a player of his standard. And obviously he's coming back from injury as well. And then also seeing the other goals, so Connor Grant and Dennis, two very young players, both brought in this season. And Dennis as well, that's 2-2 from now because he managed to pick himself up one goal against Watford and then obviously one against Morecambe. So I think Dons, you know, they're on the way up. They've gone from the bottoms, currently sat 13th. I was really worried a few weeks ago and I've said that on here. I was really worried. And I think I said we were in a relegation battle, which was quite a strong statement. And I would like to kind of retract that statement, I think, if that's possible. Because I think that was just pure emotions taking over me.
Yeah, I think you were a bit deluded, to be honest with you, Aaron.
Yeah, I will agree with that. That was pretty poor from me. But yeah, if we just look at Morecambe then, you know, 3 points from 6 games, -8 goal difference. It's not looking good, especially with players like Cole Stockton as well, refusing to play because he wants to move out of the club. I think last year, they did well to stay up in the league. I think it was a lot down to Stockton getting however many goals he got. Mm-hmm. So could we be seeing second season syndrome? I think we might be, to be honest with you. Sat 23rd now with, you know, well, Burton obviously below them. But yeah, it's not looking good there.
Yeah, if we touch on Cole Stockton, but Morecambe could have easily sold him this window. And we're 15 minutes away from it closing. I think it closed at 11, didn't it? So we're 15 minutes away from deadline day ending and they haven't let go of Cole Stockton, who obviously refuses to play for them and has handed in the transfer request. And there have been three teams who have put out pretty decent money for him, up to 200k for him. That was Shrewsbury, I think 200k, Port Vale 150 to 200k, and Fleetwood probably around the same. But Morecambe obviously wanted 600k, which for a player his age and only one amazing season, you're not going to get that, especially with the teams coming in for him who don't have a lot of money as it is. So, yeah, I think Morecambe probably should have sold up, but that would have obviously guaranteed them to go down. But if Cole Stockton refuses to play until January, then they're going to go down anyway. So I don't think they've handled this in the best way, to be honest with you, because they could have easily just reinvested that money into the squad and maybe picked up a couple of loans that would have helped them. But yeah, they just looked a bit doomed at the moment, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. When we were talking about 150,000, 200,000 to Premier League fans and Championship fans, that doesn't sound a lot of money. But for a team such as Morecambe, you know, this is not a massive team. 200,000 will go a long way at that club. So bringing that in, and if they invest it into the team or if they invest it behind the scenes, it would have made a massive difference. And asking, like you said, asking for 600,000 for a striker who's, he's not young, he hasn't really got high prospects, he's probably not really going to make it to the Premier League, is he? So he's not going to go for millions. So I think taking a good 200,000 deal for a player that wants to leave, I think that would have been the smart option. But I guess if they hold on to him now and he needs to start playing, otherwise teams at Christmas won't really want to sign him. So if he can start playing and doing well, then maybe they might get more for him, but it's a maybe. And if they get relegated, his value will go down. So yeah, as you said, I think they should have sold him.
Yeah, because in January, his price goes down as well because he's only got 6 months left on his contract in January. So it is a lose-lose situation for Morecambe at the moment.
Yeah, I think it's one you're just going to have to keep an eye on over the next year, I guess, to see if they can actually get any decent money for him now or if he leaves for free at the end of the year.
We probably should move on to the biggest result of the weekend, which is Sheffield Wednesday 5, Forest Green 0. Really you saw the best of League One against probably the worst of League One at the moment, to be honest, because this Sheffield Wednesday team will be beating teams 5-0 a lot this season, especially with Barry Bannan. You've got Gregory, Joshua Windass is just a different class. They just blew Forest Green away at the moment, at the weekend, and I am excited to play them this weekend. Probably lose now, but yeah, Forest Green just looked all at sea. Sheffield Wednesday hit four in the first 40 minutes. Well, hit in the first half. So yeah, it kind of killed the game. It's what, 3 goals in 30 minutes. So it did kill the game pretty much straight away. Obviously, you've got Moore Taylor, Bernard, McGee, McAllister, and Keith all having terrible games for Forest Green. They just did awfully. They didn't even attempt to do anything really in this game, only having 3 shots with an XG of 0.16. So yeah, I didn't expect Forest Green to come out of this with any real points, but I didn't expect them to get rolled over like they did, because obviously you would have thought they'd put up a bit of a fight being a newly promoted team. Because obviously the first season in that league is probably the easiest you can have, because you're meant to have that fighting desire, but Forest Green just don't look like they've got that at the moment. What are your thoughts on this?
If we do start with Forest Green quickly, so they're currently sat 22nd in the league, and as you say, they're not the strongest of team. I think obviously losing the manager over summer, that's going to play a massive impact on this sort of squad, really, because all of these players, a lot of, well, I can't really, Jamal Matt up top, Moore Taylor, Cargill, all of these players played under him, and then also they're losing Nicky Cadden. And Kane Wilson, the left and right backs, who were so influential for them last year. I think this is a team that will really need to, dig in if they want to stay in this league, because they are a team which, if you compare the strength of them compared to teams such as Sheffield Wednesday, they're not anywhere near as strong. So, yeah, and especially seeing how many strong teams there are, you've got Oxford, Dons, Bolton, Shrewsbury, Barnsley, the list goes on. So I think, and seeing as there's 15 minutes left of the transfer window, I don't really feel like they're going to be strengthening within that time. So I think they're going to really need to bite down and, try and keep themselves, with a fighting chance towards the end of the year. But as you said, Sheffield Wednesday, I think the signing of key players such as like Stockdale, for example, bringing them across from Wickham, such a good season last year in goal for Wickham. So I think bringing players like that in has been really key for them. And then obviously, Gregory Windass, we know what they can do. We know what Barry Bannan can do, obviously winning goal of the season last year. But I think the key point for a team like Sheffield Wednesday is the fact that they're bringing players such as Malik Wilkes off the bench and Patterson and Adrian and Will Volks as well. These are the sort of players which will, I think, are just going to be the deciding factors this year. The teams with the strongest bench, and we've talked about it a lot, how they can make 5 subs. But I think the teams with the strongest benches, your Sheffield Wednesdays, Ipswiches, Peterboroughs, I think they're the ones that are going to find themselves with the most success.
Yeah, definitely, because obviously the 5 sub rule is unfair.
Yeah, we've been over it a lot. But yeah, I think we'll try and steer away from that, or as we get a bit repetitive. Sheffield Wednesday, find themselves third, 13 points. Do you think, are they definitely going to be tight, like fighting for the automatics? We've seen such a strong start from teams like Portsmouth and Ipswich, even Peterborough to a certain degree. Do you think we're starting to see, the table starting to shape up with the teams that you expect to be fighting now?
Yeah, I think the table is looking pretty accurate to what it might be towards the end of the season. Obviously, there's some teams that you wouldn't find in them places at the moment. Like obviously Cambridge in 7th, Exeter in 9th. You wouldn't expect them to be that high, and then Shrewsbury in 20th and Oxford in 17th. You wouldn't expect them to be that low by the end of the season. So I think the table is starting to form. I think we can't really judge it until the 10 game mark, but it's starting to look like there is a gap opening at the bottom of the table and slightly in them automatic playoff promotion places too.
I think 6 games in now, we're starting to see teams with enough points to sort of suggest what we've, what we've predicted and what's going to happen.
I wanted to touch on Ipswich Barnsley. mainly because obviously Ipswich weren't at the races as much as they would have liked to, but Harness scored. He scored, and then it was disallowed. Wrongly, everybody's saying, because he basically made no contact with the defender. It was basically just he outstrengthed them, and that would have made it 3-1 to Ipswich. So I think Ipswich have been robbed. So is Shrewsbury. it's turning into a weekly theme, to be honest with you. FA have now come out and said that a Bristol Rovers player should have been sent off in the 32nd minute and has received a three-match ban for elbowing Tom Bayliss in the head. It was clear as day. The commentators saw it. Everybody else saw it. Shrewsbury players saw it. Referee didn't see it. So, as usual, standard of refereeing in League One is amazing. But yeah, let's move on from that, and we should probably get on to the transfers, really, shouldn't we?
Yeah, that was our, I guess that'll be our weekly ref rant just there. Nice and short this week. You know, we've had a few longer ones in the past. I think it's important to that as well. It sounds like Shrewsbury having a bit of trouble with refs at the moment. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, because let's be honest, on top against Accrington, if we would have, well, if Flanagan would have stayed on the pitch, then we probably would have won that match. So that's 3 points. And then we would have beaten Bristol Rovers as well. So we would be seventh if them two referees wouldn't have did what they did. So, yeah, it's great. I love it.
Right. Do you want to run us through the scores of last weekend?
The rest of the results, and I'll go over the ones that we've covered as well, were Accrington 0, Exeter 0, Bristol Rovers 1, Shrewsbury 1, Cambridge United 4, Burton Albion 3, Cheltenham 1, Oxford 2, Derby 2, Peterborough 1, Ipswich 2, Barnsley 2, Lincoln 2, Fleetwood 2, Morecambe 0, Milton Keynes 4, Plymouth 2, Bolton Wanderers 0, Port Vale 0, Portsmouth 1, Sheffield Wednesday 5, Forest Green 0, Lincoln Wanderers 1, Charlton 1. Shall we go on to your predictions for next week then, Harry, before we go on to transfers?
Oh, go on then.
Have you got the fixtures up?
I do indeed.
Okay, so Accrington Stanley, Ipswich.
I'm going 4-0 Ipswich.
Okay, Bolton, Charlton.
2-1 Charlton.
Bristol Rovers, Morecambe.
2-0 Bristol Rovers.
Cambridge, Lincoln.
3-1 Cambridge, and I'm going to say Sam Smith to score again.
Derby, Plymouth.
I'm going to go 2-2.
Exeter, MK.
Well, this better be a 2-0 win for MK Dons.
Okay. Fleetwood, Wickham.
1-0 Wickham.
Forest Green, Shrewsbury.
Ooh, I'll be nice. I'll say you're going to win 2-0.
Thank you. Oxford, Burton.
3-0 Oxford.
Port Vale, Cheltenham.
Well, that's a difficult one, actually. 1-1. I'll say 1-1.
Portsmouth, Peterborough.
Another difficult one. I'm going to go 2-2, actually. Yeah, 2-2.
And Sheffield Wednesday, Barnsley.
3-1 Sheffield Wednesday.
Okay. I'm pretty happy with some of them.
Yeah. I was a bit conservative in the league, too, so I thought it would be a bit more aggressive.
Yeah, he may as well.
Yeah, you know, I won't lose anything. If we now look at League One transfers, it's been quite a busy day, actually, today. And most notably, Shrewsbury have been in the market. What would you like to run us through them?
Yeah, so for first time in what feels like forever, we've actually signed people on transfer deadline day. So we started off the day with Robert Street, a 20-year-old striker from Crystal Palace. Hasn't scored, I think has scored one professional goal so far this, is his career. And then we've got Christian Seedey, who is from Bournemouth and apparently looked really good against Norwich in the Cup the other week. So he might be good. The only problem with starting two strikers is we now know that Dan Udo has probably got a long-term injury, which I will cry at. And then we just signed in the last half an hour, signed Carl Winchester from Sunderland on loan. I think that's an incredible signing. We'll probably play him CDM, but he can play right back and centre back too, so he's very versatile, which is a definite Steve Cotchell signing. So yeah, overall, am I happy with this transfer deadline day? Probably not what I expected, because I expected us to sign nobody. So yeah, pretty good. I think we probably had one of the better deadline day things, but that's because we left it to the last minute, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, it's, you know, bringing the three players in, you've got to be happy with that. If we look at a few other teams, so Plymouth have bought in Sam Cosgrove from Birmingham on loan. Now, this is a player that, you know, Birmingham bought down all the way from Aberdeen, thinking he was going to be the best thing, and he never really got going. So I think it'll be a bit interesting to see how he can do at Plymouth. Another few
worst player I've ever seen play. Sorry,
I was waiting for that. I think another standout has been Josh Martin getting another League One loan move to Barnsley, obviously on loan from Norwich. Last year he was on loan at MK Dons and Doncaster. And I think another one that stands out as well is Sheffield Wednesday have bought in Alex Myton on loan from Nottingham Forest. Last season, he spent most of his time on the bench for Forest and, well, made quite a few appearances in the last 10 minutes, you know, because he's quite fast and quite good. But yeah, I think overall, it's been a busy but sort of quiet deadline day. Would you agree?
Yeah, busy for some clubs. Like, Vale have made a couple of signings. Dennis Poltic coming back on loan from a Serie A side, which I'm not going to pronounce because I'll probably get it wrong. Which was great for them a couple of seasons ago, and I think he'll be a great player for them this season as well. They need really sorts out their striker forward issues too.
Yeah. Let's move on then up to the Championship. This weekend started with a 1-1 draw between Luton Town and Sheffield United. But if we move past that,
we start off with Burnley because they scored five goals, which is a great place to start, really. I think it was obviously a Brownhill masterclass. So basically, 5-1 Burnley. You had Rodriguez scoring in the 17th minute, then Brownhill in the 27th and 86th, Teller in the 51st, Bastion in 88th, and then there was a consolation Keane penalty in the 43rd minute. What do you think about this game, Harry?
Well, five goals for Burnley. You know, that's the real standout for me there. This is a team, as we said in the last pod, you know, they weren't in, well, they're currently sat sixth, but they were out of the playoffs. And we've said that, you know, they need a bit of time to sort of adjust because Vince and company is making them play very differently, you know, instead of them playing long balls like they've done in the dice, they're keeping it on the deck and passing it round. It's good to see goals from Rodriguez, Teller again on the score sheet again, and then obviously two for Brownhill. He's proving that he's still got it in very good player. If we look at Wigan sat 20th. And this is a team which I, you know, predicted to come down near the bottom. Newly promoted last year, they had a very good team in League One, but this year they haven't really made too many standout signings. You know, they're sort of the same lineup as what they had last year, and we've seen it time and time again where teams get promoted to the Championship and they don't really make the signings needed to help maintain their position. So I think it'll be interesting for them now for the rest of the season, see how they can do. And we should probably say, yeah, transfer window is closed. It is closed. So, yeah. So what's your opinions on Wigan?
Wigan, I think it's a big wake-up call for them because I think they've been coasting a bit in the Championship at the moment and they've now obviously been given a massive blow against Burnley. I think Callum Lang, I think he might be still there at Wigan. I mean, there was some late interest by some bigger Championship clubs, so I think he's still there. So that's good they kept hold of him. I think they'll still stay up. This was probably just an off day for them, and obviously, if we look at the actual game, Burnley had 0.9 XG. They had six shots on target, so they scored five of the six shots that were on target, and basically, this game was decided by Brownhill, just deciding to take the game by the scruff of the neck and just become incredible, really, with two goals and an assist. And obviously, Teller as well, just he's different gravy. And the sooner he's in the Premier League, the better for Southampton because he's going to be an absolute star.
Yeah, definitely. He's had such a strong start here. So if you look at Wigan on the bench, they've lost Stephen Humphreys today as he's gone on loan to Hearts. Do you think that's sort of the right move for him? You know, he's a player that did very well in League One. Do you think it's the right move for him to get out before the Championship?
Yeah, I don't think he was a nailed-on starter for them as well, So I think they can afford to let him go, definitely.
And do you think we've seen Charlie Wykes now starting to get himself back into the squads, on the bench at the weekend. That's such good news for him and obviously for Wigan and Wigan fans. Do you think that's sort of a part to play in why they've allowed Humphreys to leave?
Yeah, I would have thought so because Wyke is an incredible striker on his day. I saw a video of him showing off his op the operation that he had done on the video about like how he collapsed and stuff, and it's mind-blowing that seeing coming back playing football after such a horrendous like ordeal really that he had. So yeah, it's great to see him back. He's such a good player, and I think he'll score a few goals this season.
Yeah, let's hope so because he's quite exciting to watch. There's one thing which we just need to tick off. We probably should do it now, and that's Middlesbrough versus Swansea, the old 2-1. But the main event, Russell Martin. I saw a few tweets this morning actually saying that he's been called in to have a discussion about his past performances. I just want to check quickly if he's actually been sacked.
I don't think he has, but I haven't seen an
I
official
don't,
announcement.
yeah, I don't think he has, but I think, I don't know if this is just angry Swansea player as fans, sorry.
Yeah, because he hasn't won in his last four games. Obviously, true last night against Stoke, where he definitely should have lost. And at the weekend, he lost against Middlesbrough, who were really struggling to get some form before the weekend. And you would have thought, oh, the ideal for Swansea to gain some momentum, but no, they could only score via a Joe Pirro penalty. So yeah, I think the writing's on the wall for Russell Martin at the moment. He definitely will go next couple of weeks. Very crucial, especially if he's been dragged into a meeting with the owners. So I would expect him to go tomorrow if that's happened, but yeah, it doesn't look great for him.
No, definitely not. And I think we'll just leave that one there then, because it's every week now, and it's getting to a point now where something needs to happen because the performances aren't improving. The next game we should probably look at then in the championship is Blackpool versus Bristol City.
Yeah, 3-3. Well, Blackpool have come out as. Well, basically, they don't know when they're beaten, really, Blackpool at the moment. I think they were 3-2 down against Bristol City and scored in the 90th minute. But on the other hand, Bristol City look class at the moment. I think they're unbeaten in five or six now. Semenyo looks amazing, especially with Vyman as well. So you've got two players contributing goals as well, which is great for them. And I thought they would do pretty well this season. And I've been proved right so far. Not on Coventry, but we'll just get over that because it's not been ideal for them. But yeah, I think Nigel Pearson, obviously he's a great manager. You can't debate that. That's not up for debate. He's a great manager. And yeah, they're sniffing around the playoffs at the moment. And I think with a bit of luck, they'll get into the playoffs, especially as Reading have had a start to the season and just above them. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they got to playoffs because week in, week out, they score goals. And that's what you need to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, it's such a strong start, 8 points. It's three goals as well at the weekend. So yeah, as you said, Bristol City have a very good strong start, and they could definitely see themselves into the playoffs. There's one point with Blackpool which I just want to bring to attention, and that's what's occurred today on transfer deadline day, and that's Josh Bowler has been bought by Nottingham Forest. He's been immediately loaned out to a club in Europe, but he's been such a crucial part of Blackpool's championship, well, success, I would say, and helping to, make sure they get a constant flow of goals, and because he scores them and gets the assists. Do you think that's going to be a massive blow for them now that he's left?
Oh yeah, because he scored two goals in seven matches in the championship, and he's only 23 too. So yeah, a big loss for them. He doesn't look 23; he looks older than that, but might be because of the beard. But yeah, he's done really well for them. He's 10 goals in 52 appearances for Blackpool, so he's done well in the championship. Why
Yeah,
have Forest brought him?
I
Why
completely.
are Forest brought him? He doesn't look that outstanding to be. To be honest with you.
Yeah, he stands out on a team, a Blackpool team, because of the quality that they have. I would like to see him play at the top end of the Championship, if I'm being honest, before I made a real sort of decision on him. But I don't understand why Nottingham Forest have signed him, and that's me being brutally honest, because they've got Forest, you know, they've got a lot of good players in their squad camp already. So, well, they might have seen something that we've missed. So we'll have to see how he does on loan over in Europe.
Yeah, okay. So finally, should we get on to the final match that we want to look at in the Championship, which is Hull City Coventry. Estupiñán, top scorer in the league now. I think, is it 7 goals at the moment?
For Estupiñán? 7 goals in 6 games.
7 goals in 6. So he's blowing everybody else out of the water. None of his goals really seem to be from long range or outside the box. They always seem to be poacher's finishes, like instinct finishes. He's always in the right place at the right time. And that's what I like about him, because that's hard to teach in a striker, because they just wander off or lose concentration. But he's always on it. And yeah, he's just turned out to be a massive buy for Hull, who have obviously had a up and down start to the season, sitting 11th for the moment. So yeah, I think he could have his eyes on the golden boot at the moment. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's been amazing. Rightfully, as you said, though, you know, he's not scoring screamers every week. He's putting himself in where a striker should be, and Hull supplying him with balls for a striker that should score. So I think it's just a dream match at the moment. You know, scoring 7 goals like that, really, you know, it's not Mitrovic sort of level of quickness yet, but it's up there, and it's definitely faster than anybody else in the league. So I'll be interested to see how many he can get at the end of the year, and hopefully if he remains injury-free. But yeah, I think he's massive for Hull.
I'll go over the rest of the games in the Championship at the weekend. So starting off on Friday night with Luton 1, Sheffield United 1. Then you've got Sunderland 0, Norwich 1, Blackburn 0, Stoke 1, Blackpool 3, Bristol City 3, Cardiff 0, Preston North End 0, Huddersfield Town 0, West Brom 2, no, Huddersfield Town 2, West Brom 2, Hull City 3, Coventry 2, Middlesbrough 2, Swansea 1, Millwall 0, Reading 1, Rotherham 2, Birmingham City 0, Watford 2, QPR 3, Wigan 1, and Burnley 5. So, should we get on to your quick fire predictions for the next round?
Yes, please.
Have you got the fixtures up on your screen?
Yep, I am ready.
Okay, so West Brom Burnley.
2-1 Burnley.
Blackburn Bristol.
3-0 Blackburn.
Luton Wigan.
1-1.
Millwall Cardiff.
2-1 Cardiff.
Norwich Coventry.
3-1 Norwich.
Preston North End Birmingham.
I'm going to go 0-0.
Rotherham Watford.
2-0 Watford.
Swansea QPR.
Oh, dearie. 2-0 QPR.
Reading Stoke.
Well, Reading are the top of the league, aren't they? So, 2-1 Reading.
Huddersfield Blackpool.
1-0 Huddersfield.
Hull Sheffield United.
2-0 Sheffield United.
Middlesbrough Sunderland.
I'm going to go for 1-0.
Okay, so that wraps it up for the Championship. We'll go on to transfers of the Championship as well, because obviously in the last 15 minutes, the Championship has, well, the deadline day is closed. So have you been impressed with any team's transfer business today?
I think one standout sign for me has been Cardiff signing Callum Robinson from West Brom. I think they're a team that sort of lacked that sort of, not experience, but that sort of, you know, deadliness in front of goal. Yes, they've got players such as Max Waters, who's proven he can do it in the lower leagues, but I think Callum Robinson is a very well-experienced Championship striker. He's not one of those that will score you 20 goals a season, but I think he'll add a lot to this team, especially how they've got a lot of young strikers up front. Let me just have a look.
I think Tafe Chong is obviously a big one for Birmingham. I think he could be incredible in the championship. He proved it before his injury last season, and I think he'll kick on this season.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I think another one along those Man United sort of line is Amad Diallo going on loan to Sunderland.
Oh, yeah.
This is a massive, well, massive signing for Sunderland. It's a bit of a... Well, if you look at Man United when they signed him 2 years ago, he's one of the only few signings that they made for such a large price. He was on loan last year at Rangers, you know, made it to the Europa League final. So coming on loan to Sunderland, a newly promoted team into the Championship, it's an interesting one for me. So I'm sure he'll be really good in the league, but is it the right step for him? And we've spoken about, obviously, earlier, Brandon Thomas Asante getting the step up to West Brom from Salford. But yes, apart from that, maybe you could make a case for Danny Rose has finally been released from Watford. So he's becoming a free agent. But yes, that's what I think.
Right, good. I think Birmingham have obviously made a great end to the transfer window, dipping into Man United, really, because they've also signed Hannibal, who looks like he's a really good talent, and I think there's a big future for him. So Birmingham, they could prove me wrong and not get relegated this season.
Sounds very exciting. If we look at also, sorry, if we're looking at another young prospectable player, and that's Michu coming from PSG, he's also gone to Sunderland. So Sunderland really splashing out in this young talent.
We should really touch on Alex Neil moving from Sunderland to Stoke, which kind of angered a lot of Sunderland fans because they thought they found their man for a long time, really, because he did so well with them getting promoted. But he's got to Stoke now, I think probably for the money and stability too, because I think he was on a rolling contract with Sunderland, and Stoke have obviously given him a long one. So yeah, that was the big managerial talking point from last week.
Yeah, that for me, it was a... He's an amazing manager. Let's not get this wrong. Getting them promoted. He's done it in the past. You know, getting Norwich promoted to the Premier League. I think, for me, I see Sunderland as a team on the way up. And I see Stoke as a team that sort of stabilised themselves now as a, I'd say, top-end, mid-table sort of team. So I was a bit shocked that really that, you know, seeing Sunderland bringing players like Diallo in and Michu and also Barr today as well, that sort of shocked me. But as you just said there, he was on a rolling contract. So maybe he's obviously taking care of himself and looking for a bit more stability in his own career as a job manager.
Yeah, and you can't blame him for that, really. He's gone from one big club in red and white to another big club in red and white. So not too much change.
So that sort of brings an end then to our podcast this week. You know, we've given you his live updates if you want. During the final hour of the transfer deadline day, we've covered quite a wide range of stuff today. So thanks for listening to us and bearing with us. Anything you want to add, Luke, before we head off?
This might have been a bit of a downbeat podcast, but that's because we're recording at 11 o'clock at night and I'm usually asleep by this time. So, yeah, sorry for that. And we'll probably see you next week. Some big games at the weekend. Obviously, Shrewsbury play Forest Green and MK play some team, Exeter, so probably should be two wins for both of us. So we might be coming onto the podcast really happy next week. I hope so, anyway.
I definitely hope so. Two newly promoted team. But yeah, so we'll end it there. We're off to get our beauty sleep. So thank you for listening and tune in next week.